Okay, well, you know, the exciting thing about what I really wanted to share this weekend is that it's something that is really practical that can help anyone no matter where they're at. And I think, you know, with what Gary said this morning is we're together because he and I love each other. And it's a pretty good relationship because we've had some things that we don't agree on, and it hasn't made any difference in our relationship. I can't say I take any credit for that. But anyway, I think Gary's been a pretty good example of that with his website and with his ministry over the years, and he's been consistently stubborn in loving people. Right? So, he's like a weeble. So I remember I wrote him and I said, well, do you think we could behave? Could we get together and behave? You know, and he said, sure, I think we'll have a ball. So here we are, and it's, you know, how can you beat the weather? I mean, geez, this is pretty nice. And it's been really rigidly cold back home this year, colder than it's been in a long time. The nice thing about that is we've had a lot of sunshine, so I would prefer that over the warmer, sloppy stuff that normally we get, this rainy, drizzly, icy, we don't know if it's freezing or if it's above freezing, and it's sort of hazy, you know, you feel like you're in London. We get a lot of that too, but we haven't had that in a couple years, which I've appreciated. I lived in Colorado, and we'd get crazy snowstorms, really cold weather, and then 3 days we'd be golfing and it'd be 70 degrees, you know. So I sort of like that. But anyways, I haven't been out here. The last time I was in Phoenix, we landed on the tarmac. It was 120 degrees. And I said, I don't think I'm going to fly through Phoenix anymore. They had a heck of a time keeping the plane cooled down just while we were waiting, you know, I remember. So that was back, that was America West. Remember them?
Yeah.
Who bought them? I can't remember now. Somebody
American
bought them.
Airlines.
Huh?
American Airlines,
yeah. So I used to fly America West out because I came to Sacramento almost every month for 4 years back when we were developing. If some of you don't know, I'm in the lighting business. Isn't that ironic? I'm in the light business. Yeah. Tony was the one that brought that to my attention. I go, geez, why did it take so long for me to figure that out? You had to tell me, and I've been in the lighting business 15 years, and he gets up and he says he's in the light business. And wow, he's right. So this is more fun than making lights, okay? But we've been giving light to people that's been helping him for quite a while, and we started doing this back in 2008, and I would bring Tony Den Hartog over to the States. Did any of you remember any of those meetings? I know Gary did, because that's how Gary and I got connected, because he was following Tony, and I remember just being in this place in my life where we weren't going to church, and I had just come out, I just got kicked out of Union Life Ministries, if you can believe that, because I was teaching against the Trinity. And I got up and said, there's really no such thing as a Trinity. There isn't this three-part Godhead, you know, that's got to talk to himself, right? And out, they cast me, that, you're on the street, you know. And but what's crazy is they have been kicked out of a lot of churches themselves. So yeah, anyways, we had a lot of good friends there, and it was fun for a while. But what happens when we go from these place to place to place? You just sort of outgrow it. You've outgrown some things that we thought was true. So there's a lot of truth out there, but absolute truth is the truth that you can't explain. Absolute truth is a truth that the mind can't understand. That's the difference, but there's a lot of truth out there. 2 + 2 = 4, that doesn't take a lot to figure that out. That's true, right? But there's these truths that are beyond comprehension, beyond understanding, beyond explanation, like nothing's out of order. Everything that's out there is speaking against that. Everything with your five senses that projects outward speaks against that. That's not a truth that you can understand. It's beyond comprehension in this realm over here, where we're always constantly trying to figure things out. And who's our Robert Adams guy? What's your name again?
I'm Joseph.
Joseph. How long have you been listening to Robert?
Since the 80s.
Wow. Yeah. Well, Robert would preach to people in the context of where they were, to love them. And so that the truths he was sharing that he knew they couldn't comprehend, they would be warmed up to, instead of just put the brakes on. They would start to consider it, because we weren't coming in and just saying, well, I don't agree with this, and I don't agree with that, and I don't agree with this. He would entertain them where they were. And he didn't believe in reincarnation himself, but sometimes he taught it. And he would say to people, if you believe reincarnation's true, then it's true for you. Mm-hmm. And in the illusion, you might need to come back again. Mm-hmm. But he said the illusion. Mm-hmm. So now, this illusion out there, which there are many truths in, that appears to be reality. It's not reality. This isn't reality. Reality is absolute. It's unchanging. What's out here is apparent reality. It is reality in the realm in which we find ourselves. It is reality in the realm of our identity. And in this realm, there's nothing wrong with that. Okay? The whole idea about us getting together and talking about this is for us to be less judgmental and less intellectual. Right? Because when you start to look into the Eastern thought and the Eastern teachings, there's the first book ever printed was called the Diamond Sutra. Has anybody ever heard of that? Yeah? It's an amazing writing. But when you read it, it seems very, very intellectual. And reading some of Nisargadatta Maharaji's writings seemed very intellectual. But once you get in and understand these nuggets that are in there, you find out that they aren't that at all. It's just understanding the language and the terms. Dean Dosher has his own set of terms that he uses. And for me to say to him, those terms aren't right, or I don't agree with them when I'm talking to Dean, doesn't make any sense. I go in, and after I listen to him for a couple years, I know what he means when he says certain things. See? And I understand what he's talking about. His whole goal, although every post he makes, he's saying desire to be God. Desire to be God. Desire to be God. He's just telling everyone, you have no control. And when you try to control, you're desiring to be God. You're desiring to reign over circumstances which you have no control over. Because life is always expressing itself, with or without our help. This is that sweet spot. I know most of you have felt it. We felt it. Yeah? I felt it. And it's a place where we know nothing is out of order. It's a place where we know and start to realize there's, this is what Robert Adams would say. So he would take and he would talk to the people where they were, and he would sprinkle in truths that would just cause you to just crap your pants. I'm sorry. You just go, what did he say? What was that? Huh? We were just talking about something that was real simple, and all of a sudden he interjects this. And here he was, and maybe you've heard this recording, but he was talking to this guy that was really, really struggling and suffering with his health. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, he said, God is your body. I'm going, huh? I hit the rewind button. I said, where did that come from? But it spoke to me like a loudspeaker was playing. Do you hear it? How could God is your body be a reality? We better find out, because we tend to worship it maybe a little bit too much. We think that is life, when if we're life that has no beginning and end, we can't be this body that disappears. We can't be the mind that quits thinking. And I've really, you know, over the last couple of months, death has spoken to me. What I thought death was has spoken to me. And it never really spoke to me before, because I've been young and vibrant and healthy, and I've never had to even consider it. But all of a sudden it started speaking to me. And then it said, death is simply the end of thought. The end of thought. It's just the end of thought.
The end of what?
Thought. That doesn't sound like anything to be afraid of to me. Huh? But when we talked last night about life and death being the same thing, it's our picture of life that's created this false image of death. That's why they're the same. Because our idea of life is that it's something that's limited. Our idea of life is that it has a time span. And that can't be life when life is everything, when life is all in all. Life can't be restricted by a sense of time. And we can, in our minds, we can set, we can talk about a future, but no one's ever lived there, have they? It's impossible to live somewhere other than where you are. It's absolutely impossible. So we can reach out. If you want a future, go ahead. But if you want fear, try to live in the future. You can't live there. It's just a projection of what we speculate could happen. We have no control over that. It appears that we do. Okay, so I'm not saying in this realm that it doesn't appear that we don't have some control over that, but we don't. That's the part that's hard to take. So what we want to do this weekend is just very simple. We want to learn to investigate ourselves. Investigate the process of thinking. Not forget about you're not a you, we're not an I. Forget about this overdone, overbaked truth, okay? That's not why we're here right now. What we're here to talk about is investigating that which troubles you, that which creates suffering in your life, that which creates stress in your life. I like to live stress-free. I like to live without suffering. That sounds like the kind of life that we've longed for, the kind of life that we've dreamed about, the kind of life that we've been told is real, where there's peace and joy. And I listened to someone, they said, I haven't suffered for 22 years, ever. 22 years, I haven't suffered. And it woke me up because I was in the middle of some pretty serious suffering and despair like I've never experienced before. She said, I haven't suffered in 22 years. I'm going, wow, well, what's that? They go over and peel the lid off this thing and find out. And then to discover that it doesn't matter where people are. If they can learn these principles of investigating the confused mind, right? Just being honest enough to investigate this confused mind we talked about Friday night, where we just question it. And we're going to go through just a little exercise that's going to help you identify where stress and suffering have come into your lives. But what do we do all the time? We just try to get rid of it. See, and that's not the right way to do it. Now, this isn't about rules. This isn't about, you don't have to do this, but I'll just tell you with me, my mind, since I've been realizing this and it's come into my life, my mind has really settled down. And I found that, you know how you just wake up sometimes in the morning and you just sort of feel depressed. It's like, oh no, it's another day. It's the same old thing. You know, I'm going to scratch my leg a couple times and itch my neck and reach around my back and massage a little bit because I'm getting older and I do it every morning. And I get up and I go and do the same job. I'm home. I mean, I got a friend of mine that wrote that to us openly, and I shared it with, her name was Nancy. She says, what do we do to just get past this? My life is boring. Just doing the same thing every day, and it's just sort of depressing. You know, and we talked about it, and we started sharing about it, and she came out of it. Why? How did we do that? Asking, what, finding out, what thought behind this feeling am I believing? What is it I'm believing? That I'm thinking's true, that I'm thinking's real. And what we found out as we shared, you know, last night, is that most of these thoughts are not real. They might have partial truth in them. There might be some part of it which is true, but we'll find that most of it's tied to what we've just been thinking our whole lives, and we've never questioned it, ever. We've never said, well, wait a minute. So today we're going to just do something really practical that will help us, that I don't think you're ever going to forget. I promised you last night that I would help you understand what it means to never suffer. Now, when I was in New Zealand, I heard a new word. We were traveling to Australia because Tony would come over here and we'd do some meetings, and then Diane and I started traveling there and we did some meetings. And we finally ended up in New Zealand because, believe it or not, my wife had friends in Australia. Then we went to New Zealand. We had friends on both islands in New Zealand, and she knew them well enough, we stayed with them. So we're up here staying with these New Zealanders up in the North Island near, it was Whangarei, I think. This guy named Pete, and his wife was going through depression. She was really depressed, and she was very depressed about her job. She didn't like the people she worked with, and on and on and on she went. And all of a sudden, Pete goes up, yeah, she was really stressed. I'm going, that sounds bad. I don't want that. Stress is bad enough. But geez, with a few E's and a couple S's on there. S-T-R-E-E-E-S-S-S. Stress. He said stress. And he held it out. He liked stress. She was really in stress. I'm going, man, that's bad stuff, you know, Pete. It was like we joked about it the whole rest of the week, you know. I said, I don't want any of that stress, Pete. Keep that away from me, you know. We've just thought it's normal. And I think what I really am hoping we can do is that we don't lie to ourselves and don't be dishonest with ourselves to think that that isn't part of our lives. I don't think we know any better sometimes. I really don't. I think we think this boring status quo is all there is. It doesn't have to be at all. Yeah, I know it. And so, yeah, that's all we got to do is raise our hands. So when we believe our thoughts, instead of what is really true for us, we experience all kinds of emotional distress that we call suffering. You know, I remember this one gal, I won't say her name, but she lives in Florida, and she said, you know, I'm not concerned about dying, I just don't want to suffer. So here's something you want to remember. That will help you. Here's the first step, okay? Suffering is an alarm clock. It's like a natural alarm. And it's warning us that we are attaching to a thought, okay? Suffering is a natural alarm clock that's warning us that we're attaching to a thought. So when we do not listen to the warning, we accept suffering as a normal way of life. And how are we doing that? We just think, well, it shouldn't be happening to me. We just want to get rid of it. We just want to take a pill. Instead of listening to the alarm clock and what? Investigating to see what thought is it that's creating the suffering? What thought is it? And many times I've found in my life, because I have experienced this to some degree, but I've never realized it was so powerful until this last couple months, how powerful this was, to continuously do this to a point where now it's becoming natural to me. Because they're my thoughts, they've got to be right. Right? Huh? Sort of. We sort of think that. We own it. We've been taught, coming into Christianity, that if we have an unhealthy thought, if we have a terrible thought, that there's something wrong with us, that we created it. And I'm here to tell you, you're not the author of your thoughts. You don't create your thoughts. Hello? A lot of things. So, suffering is a natural alarm, warning us that we're attaching to a thought. Okay? So, when we accept suffering as a natural or normal way of life, guess what? It's not normal at all. That's the good news. So, wow, I'm hearing this stuff, and then I found out I've read it in places before, but not in a way where it laid it out like this. It was just pieces here or there. But when we go back in to the Diamond Sutra, it's all laid out. It was a book that was printed in 865 by the Zen Buddhists. And I guess you could call it their Bible. Hopefully I don't want to curse it and call it a Bible, but I guess you could call it their Bible. But it wasn't, nobody ever messed with it. Right? It's still apparently pure. And this Diamond Sutra means a diamond that cuts through illusion. So don't think you're going to look us up and just read it while you're getting your hair done, gals, at the beauty parlor. Okay? It's not that kind of a writing. It's a kind of writing where you're going to read a sentence or a paragraph and you could spend a month reading it over and over. That's the kind of truth it is. I love that myself. I love that. That's why I loved the writing I Am That. It wasn't that everything in it was like pure and I loved it all, but I found at least probably 100 nuggets in there that were things that I'd never considered. Things that I'd never heard before. Things that I'd never understood in any writings before. That's what amazed me. And I found them to free me, and I found them, I couldn't believe every day at happy hour, instead of having a scotch and smoking a cigar, I would sit down and read this I Am That. I was in Hong Kong. I was there for a long time, and every afternoon I would get I Am That and I would sit down and I would read it. And I'd still have a scotch and a cigar. So I did all three of them now. Less scotch so I could keep focusing, right? But I just, it was so exciting. I read it when I got up. I read it a little bit at lunch when I'd been between work. And then at night, I would spend a couple hours just sitting there while the sun is setting, reading this, and just amazed at what I was hearing. And that's what you're going to find in the Diamond Sutra. If you just read the whole thing and you get three or four things that you never forget, it's worth it, because it's that kind of a writing. You're going to find the same kind of thing. And it doesn't mean you have to, but I'm just saying, I love that kind of stuff. But you saw the little plaque by the offering thing about thought. And it says, if you think too much, you'll create a problem that wasn't there in the first place. And I think you were sharing with me last night about how we go through these things. I'm sorry, what was your name again?
Fred.
Fred, I'm sorry, Fred. I'll get it by the time the weekend's over. Fred was saying what we've all thought, but we don't realize how true this is that we just build up these castles of fear in our minds by a collection of thoughts, by these systems of belief, by these concepts that we've built. And that's why it's hard to get out of them, because they've got a linear line of all these thoughts. And most of them aren't true. And if we can get back to the one that built it all, where it started, it all falls. But we find a lot of times that it never happened. These fears that we suffer through, these things where we find anxiety and stress, never happened. How many times have we worked ourselves up in something, you know? And I love my wife, but she's very, very defensive and protective of our home. And we've got this log home, and every spring, these like bees come, these big bees come, and they start eating the house.
Carpenter bees,
yes. I like how you said that. Is that English? Did you say carpenter bees?
New York.
Maybe they come from New York. But these bees eat a lot of stuff, okay? I'm telling you, they make piles of sawdust and it starts piling up. She acts like the house is going to collapse, okay, when these bees show up. She's running around frantic. Yeah. Packing these holes, you know, where the bees are. I said, honey, I love bees. They can eat a lot of wood here and it will be no issue. So I don't mind them having a few bites, okay? But she don't want them to have any bites. Okay? No bites for her, okay? I don't mind a few little friendly carpenter bees taking a little bite here or there, you know. I think it's sort of cute. They can't sting you. They look ferocious, you know, but they don't ever sting you. And they like move like a blimp, you know. You can bat them out of the air, right? But there's been things like that in her life that has put her into a frenzy. She'll admit it to you. I can use her as an example. You know?
Water and bees.
Yeah. And what I'm saying to you is, as you identify these warning signs, right, that we're talking about, these natural alarm clocks, there's, and not look at this thing as something bad that you need to get rid of. Looking at it as a tool for investigating your thoughts and to question, why am I stressed? Why am I suffering? That's what we're talking about, okay? That's pretty simple, I think. And so Zen teaches this, Socrates, and you find in the Socrates dialogues, they teach this. Some of us are living or have lived in lives and we think, hey, everything's going the way I think it should be, and we can't relate to this. That's okay. That's all right. I have trouble believing that myself. And I'm a pretty positive guy. You know, I'm not somebody that goes around, you know, sounding like blowing my horn of warning signs, you know, that something's wrong all the time. I'm just not that kind of guy. So when we believe our thoughts, instead of what we know as reality, we experience suffering. So here's another little nugget I thought was interesting. Because we talk about addiction a lot, and to me, the ultimate addiction is the addiction to our thinking. We just believe it. It's all real. We believe it's all true because we thought it. We own our thoughts, and we judge ourselves because of them. And I'm saying it's not your fault. There's no one to blame. But now that you know that you can investigate it, or you should investigate it, use the idea that if I'm suffering or I've got stress or anxiety, it's time to question. Why? Just ask yourself why. You don't need to ask your neighbor. You need to ask some deity in the sky for help. Just ask yourself. I promise you, within my life, the answers always come. And what I found is, that I can share with you, is a lot of times it's one or two layers deeper than where I'm investigating. That where I'm at, I go back a couple layers and I go back, well, here's the problem. So it's not real easy to find on the surface sometimes. Right? Really. That I got caught up, like we say, we got systems and concepts of thought that are a collection of thoughts that have built into systems of belief. That's why it's hard to believe, you know, that going to church was wrong. Well, how many things have we learned since then about we don't believe in hell anymore? Wow. We don't believe in a God of reward and punishment. Well, how long did it take for all those things to unravel and come to find out that everything we believed with religion was wrong? Gary said it this morning. Everything? Come on, it can't all have been wrong.
It was.
Yeah. But that's a lot of systems of belief. That's a lot of thoughts, and that's why I'm saying it. These concepts build up, and there's one thought somewhere that makes it all crumble. It's pretty simple once you've sort of got it figured out. I found it's a lot simpler. It isn't complicated. So what's the cause of suffering?
What
a shit. Uh-oh. You've been reading my notes. She's been up here peeking at my computer.
Just thought of that.
So go inside, and what I mean by that is ask yourself, okay, we're going to find the solutions. When we go outside, we always find war. Because when we go outside, we have to be judging by appearances. You're not going to find the answers out here. You're not going to find the answers in circumstances changing in the world. Leave the world, Jesus said. I'm going to leave the world and return to the Father. That's what he meant. He's going to leave your world. Because every one of us has a different definition of the world. So, that which is pure does not need to suffer. Are you pure? Is everybody in here pure?
Yes.
Yes. Everyone in here is pure. You don't need to suffer. You don't need to suffer. That's what I'm trying to say. That's good news. We don't need to suffer. We've got half-truths all along in our life. Part of it's true. We've read the Book of Martyrs. Think they're saints. And I'm not saying that we don't learn in suffering. But we don't learn in suffering by just getting rid of the suffering. And what I've said now is it's an alarm clock. So that which is pure does not need to suffer, so it can become more pure. That's the lie.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
If you're pure, why do you need to suffer to become more pure? Even here we can use the simplest understanding that it would be impossible for suffering to purify something that did not need to be purified in the first place. Mm-hmm. How could it purify it? You are perfect and pure right now. Start from that place.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you start to suffer and have stress, let me get that right, New Zealand, stress, what's wrong? Hello? Some thought is wrong. You're believing something that's wrong.
That's right. To the pure, all things are pure.
That's right. You're believing something that's off.
Yeah.
Don't blame yourself. Don't be guilty about it. Investigate. Ask yourself, what is it? And it's for me, it's every time I've asked myself, it's come up. And I'll say, oh, there it is. Because I've looked first at the suffering and thought, well, that's where it's at, and it's never there. It's always behind it somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
There's a thought behind it somewhere where I've gotten out of line. Now, when I say out of line, it means it's an alarm clock to investigate. So it's a call, like putting your hand over the stove and your hand burns. You say, oh, well, let's pull it back. Let's question what it is that's causing our hand to be burned instead of just saying, well, it shouldn't be burning. I'm going to hold it over there anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how we act, though. You know, I got the healing. I got the power of God. You know, my hand won't get burnt. You know, I can stick my hand in the fire and even the snake can bite me and I won't die. Sorry, Peter or Paul. So, while it is true that we're not the mind, okay, we're not the body, when we have problems with people, it's always a battle of the minds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ouch. Just know that. Don't judge yourself from it. Just know, hey, I'm getting in a battle of the mind now, and I'm not going there. And just withdraw.
Yeah.
There's nothing right or wrong about it. Just realize, hey, if you want to hold your hand over the burner, hold it over there. That's what you want to do. That's okay. But you'll pull it back eventually. Why wait? I've got a brother that's tormented me pretty much my whole life. And I've loved on this guy, and loved on this guy, and loved on this guy. I've done nothing but love on this guy, just over and over and over again. And I told you I was past the 70 times 7. I was past that. You're not supposed to count, right? Well, apparently I was counting still, right? But he doesn't know that I'm suffering because of him. He doesn't know it. So why should I be suffering about it? Because I'm believing a thought that's not true. That's why. It's that simple. That's simple stuff, right? That's like
very subtle,
escape from suffering 101. Okay, that's what we're talking about here. It's the beginning. So here's the first key. Here's the first thing. And I think most of you have agreed with it, and most of you are raising your hands, is to stop lying to ourselves. Be honest with yourself. And instead of trying to defend your ego that it's always right about everything all the time, begin to investigate and use this natural alarm clock as this key to say, wait, I'm feeling a little stressed out here. You know, what's going on? It could start and be that simple. It could be just that simple. I'm stressed out a little bit. What's going on? I'm suffering. What's going on? What am I believing? Because there's always something behind it that's creating this, okay? Yeah. I promise you. And if we learn to be honest about that and not be defensive about it, we can get some relief from it. And we don't have to take Roloids to do it. You can just question yourself. So, we're trying to recognize what? The confused mind. So, here we go. Many times, I could say this about my brother. He always does this. Always does this. Exaggerating. He's offended me, I don't know how many times, right? But even with somebody's offended you once or twice, my raising my voice enough, we'll say they do it all the time. How many times have you heard people saying it all the time? He does it all the time, and he's maybe done it twice or three times, you know. He does it all the time, that bastard. It's not true. Has he done it all the time? Are you sure? Well, no. No, not all the time. Are you absolutely sure he's done it all the time? No. Well, how do you feel when you have that thought? How do you feel that he does it all the time? What's that make you feel like? Stressed. That's what it makes you feel like. That's not the way of life in the kingdom of heaven, to suffer. It's not for us to suffer. The pure don't need to suffer to be pure. This is all a head game. This is all confusion in the mind. And anything we can do to enter into our right mind is how we get out of hell. Proverbs said, hell and destruction are never full because the people aren't satisfied. Really? Are we thankful? Are we satisfied with everything? Well, we won't be suffering and we won't have stress. So, these are your alarm clocks. So, the sense of preservation that we have is just, we like to spin the truth in our personal story. And Dane and I were talking about this, you know, about Well, my wife always goes around and hides stuff from me all the time. Well, that's not true. It's a lie. She's really trying to protect me, you know. And I was saying that to Dana, and she says, okay, Brian, which is, that's her husband's name, because I guess he accuses her of doing that all the time, too. But I left my billfold out, and my wife hid it, you know, and of course I couldn't find it because she didn't tell me where she hid it. And then off she went, forgetting about it, you know, and I'm here, I need my billfold, you know, I can't buy my billfold. Just one example.
I never hide your billfold.
But anyway, now that's a bold-faced lie.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway. Dean says, when identity means more than honesty, never expect to find the truth anywhere. So you can't hide from yourself. You're always going to be where you're at. Right? I mean, you might as well be honest with yourself, because you can't hide from yourself. You know. So we begin to take notice when our minds begin to argue with this sense of peace and joy that we're supposed to have. Because when we believe a thought that argues with life, with what is, we suffer.
We gotta leave, so
oh,
sorry.
Okay.
It's beautiful to see Betty and Freddie. Thank you. Okay.
Who was that?
Betty and Fred have to leave.
Betty and Fred.
So here, Barb, the word should is the biggest lie word you'll ever speak.
Amen.
No.
Should, could, would have.
No. Should.
No. I told you.
People should be kinder. Children should respect their parents more. My neighbors should take better care of their lawns. The president should stop talking trash on Twitter. I should be thinner or prettier, and on and go. We go till we're sick. We could have 100 of them. I should. It's all judgment. It's tricky. Yeah. But I want to, you know, I really don't care what anybody thinks about me. I want to live in this stress-free zone. And I've really seen it work.
Yeah.
And it's worked me over. This life that's without stress and without suffering has come in and worked me over. And it feels good to wake up and know every moment is unique. Every moment is life expressing itself without any control. And I told you last night I had this person threaten me. And they really didn't have any context to it at all. They really, but at first when it happened, I got a little nervous about it. And I said, you know, I have no control. Have absolutely no control over it. It was the title of the message was Your Secret Weapon. And the secret weapon is you have no control.
Mm-hmm.
So what have I got to worry about? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And just a peace come over me and a rest, and I just walked away from the whole thing. And nothing ever happened out of it. So that's really, oh, it's just really life. It's living in a place where life is just peaceful and kind. Doesn't ever want to be unkind, okay? Just to let you know, unconditional love doesn't ever want to be unkind, okay? So if there's something going on where you want to be unkind, there's probably some kind of a unhealthy thought behind it somewhere, okay? Yeah? There's something behind that motivating that. I'm going to run around and kill carpenter bees the rest of my life, you know. There's going to be hundreds of them dead on the deck, you know. And I'm around trying to save them on the other side of the house, you know, because I like hearing their buzzing going on, you know, and say, well, don't eat too much, just eat a little. But I mean, we've got enough wood in our house to last 100 years for carpenter bees, okay? So they're not going to bring it down, trust me. But anyways, I built it for my wife, so I'll help her. I don't want to be sick to death because of what's going on up here. Yeah. This is your only enemy. This thing, this side, yes, this left. Left. Left brain.
Left brain.
Left brain, yes. We're mirroring each other, see? Yeah. This is my left. So here's another thing that happens about stress, is it happens when we're trying to live outside our own business. That's what I mean by judging the world, mm-hmm. by appearances, by right or wrong. We're living outside our own business. Mm-hmm. Pretend you live back in a time when there was no internet and there was no world news. Huh? Think about that. What would it be like to live in that time frame where you didn't even have Pony Express? Hmm? We didn't know what was happening over in Africa. We didn't know what was happening in Iraq. We didn't know what was happening in Pakistan. And guess nobody would have ever went over there and went to war. Because we wouldn't have known. Nobody would have known. And so the terrorists live in their world. I'm not a terrorist. I'm not going to go live in their world. Okay? I don't have to go live in that world, guys. It's not my world. It's none of my business. You want to take all the cares of the world into you, and what does it say? It chokes out the truth. Because all there is with it is judgment. That's all there is judgment. Now, nobody wants people to suffer. Nobody wants that. But you've got to work with your own suffering. You can't help another person if you're stressed and suffering. You can help no one. When you have peace and joy and contentment, you've got an energy behind you that can help. And when I went out to this clinic where we were getting helped with Lyme's, after I'd sat down and talked with this unbelievable doctor for a while, just this peace come over me. And the rest of the week while I was there, I was just running around ministering to these people in kindness and love. I wasn't preaching to them. I wasn't trying to get them not be stressed. I was just happy. And I was engaging. I was just trying to get them to talk. And just to cheer up, because half of them looked like they got run over by a semi. You know, and they were depressed. And I didn't like what I was seeing. And we started this group conversation in around this sound machine in this one treatment room. And we got talking, and it was 2 hours later, nobody knew. We'd been talking 2 hours. It just, and we were telling jokes and cracking up and just, and some people in there were seriously, seriously ill. Way, way more sick than I was. And they were all engaging by the time we got done, you know. And the girls that worked there said, Mike, you need to come back and stay in the sound room for us, okay? And you can just talk to people when they come in all the time. I said, well, I got to go home. You know, I'd love to do that, but I didn't want to stay in Minnesota. The next day it was supposed to be 26 below, and I wasn't staying. So it was cold up there. Let's stop from trying to live outside our own business, right? Bring it home. That'll help you a lot if you just learn to do that, okay? Let's not go outside and try to solve all the world's problems that we read the paper and in the news, okay? It's not your problem. right? Just bring it home. Be at peace with yourself. And everywhere you go, you'll take peace with you. And that's what it means to have peace in your world. That's what it means to be at peace, is you take it with you. That's your world. It's where you're at. And you've got peace. And you'll attract it. People will be attracted to you. I've seen it happen faithfully, time after time again. People say, what's going on with you, Mike? You know, and I say, I'm just a happy guy. You know, I just hope you're encouraged. You know, I just want to encourage you. I was telling, there's one gal that was really young, and Lyme's can be super debilitating. You can, my wife 2 years ago was crippled from it and couldn't get out of bed. It was that bad. And she's bouncing off the walls now. So I'm happy for that. But it was tough. I remember pushing her through the airport in a wheelchair. And here we are, she's not even 60 years old yet. So, our thoughts are harmless until we believe them. So don't think your thoughts are bad. My thoughts are good or bad. We're talking about embracing them. We're talking about believing that it's reality. Just because you have a thought doesn't believe it mean it's true. And we've all been really hoodwinked by that. Because we've had the thought, we've owned the thought, and we thought it was our thought, and we're responsible for it. It's just a thought. Don't blame yourself. Don't judge yourself for those things. Amen. Just learn to examine and see, is this creating stress? Is this creating suffering? Is this creating any level of anxiety in my life? And it's just been amazing. We don't know how difficult it's been. We don't realize how much we've been our own enemy. But so if we recognize these stressful thoughts as this natural alarm clock, we begin to investigate, because this is why you're here. This is the reason you're here, is to investigate who you are, to understand that you are life, and life doesn't need anything. Life isn't lacking anything. So if you feel like you're lacking something, guess what? Something's telling you something's wrong. Well, what is that? What is it that's telling you something's wrong? We worship our bodies. We think this is me. We think this is me. I mean, if death is the end of thought, how could my thoughts be me? And your whole idea about yourself comes from your thought about yourself. That's your enemy. The person you think you are is your enemy. It's not reality. The person you really are is a pure, joyous, peaceful person. Without stress, without suffering. That's who you really are. If you're complete and lacking nothing, missing nothing, how could you suffer? If you really, really believed that, how could you ever suffer? So once that begins, it's time just to simply investigate. And as I started investigating, now before this happened, we went through some 2 years of difficult things with my business that was extremely stressful. And I was under the assumption that I just needed to learn from this, and I did. But now I found this shortcut that's amazing. Because if you believe that you're pure and you're life and you're complete and you're full and you're needing nothing, if you really believe that, there should never be anything stressful going on. There should never be any suffering going on at any level. And that's why I can tell you, if you would learn to investigate what's robbing you of your joy and peace, you'll live in joy and peace. And it will happen when it's happening, instead of letting it linger for a week or two or a month. See, I'm not going to let my brother ruin my joy because of my thought I have about him. Not because of my brother. This isn't my brother's fault, guys. As soon as I let go of the thought about my brother, the pain stops. That quick. Guess what? I drop it like a hot rock. It's over. It's over. Doesn't matter how much he's done it. Doesn't matter what he's done. And this last one was a doozy. I mean, it was a doozy. Okay? This last one. We're just scratching our heads and said, did he really do that? Even Diane was troubled by it. Did he just do that? After all that we've done for him. And I helped him travel overseas and get a beautiful woman. He'd have never got her if I didn't help him. I did a lot of stuff. Did a lot. He's got this beautiful Asian wife now, huh? See, and she's sweet as can be. You know? How could he do that to me after all that? You know? How could he? It's a bad thought. See? If I really did it for him without any conditions, and at the time I did, but all of a sudden apparently there were conditions, right? Huh? All of a sudden, 2 years later, I guess there were conditions, weren't there? You can't ever do this if I helped you get a wife. Yeah. So what am I doing? I'm just being honest. Huh? So I hope it helps you be honest. That's right. You're all there is, honey. You're on a desert island. You're lacking nothing. You don't need anything outside you. Right? Nothing. I'd love to just try that, to be like Tom Hanks and I have just a soccer ball, you know, and long hair. That's it. Wilson. Mm-hmm. Remember Wilson?
Mm-hmm. What was that movie called?
That's the name of the soccer ball.
Castaway?
Yeah.
He never once prayed, though.
Good. So glad. So glad. So glad he didn't stress himself out.
With coconut water.
Okay, so here's a little exercise. Okay. So our thoughts are harmless till we believe them. Don't believe that mumbo jumbo we've been taught all our lives, that you're the author of your thoughts. Okay? You couldn't dream up that crap if you had a plan 10 years long. You ever tried to write down some of your dreams sometimes? Where'd that stuff come from? I dreamed the other night I was in a canoe surrounded by piranha, and I've never been to the Amazon. Where's that come from? I don't like canoes. Don't even have one. I call up Dean. I said, what do you think? He says, well, piranha eat flesh. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Great idea. Piranhas are flesh-eating monsters. I said, well, I guess there maybe is a little more flesh that's got to be eaten, okay? He said, yeah. Okay. We'll let him chomp away, right? So, a stressful feeling is really a loving, compassionate alarm clock, right? Don't resist it. Question it. Question it. Is this true? This is why you're here. Is what I believe true? Pretend you're in a courtroom. Is what I believe true beyond a reasonable doubt? And the answer has to be yes or no. It can't be yes but. Okay? There can be no conditions. The answer has to be yes or no. Is what I'm believing true beyond a reasonable doubt? Can I know that it's absolutely true? My brother doesn't love me. My brother doesn't love me. Is that absolutely true? Do I know that's absolutely true? No, I don't know that's absolutely true. No, I don't. He loves me in a peculiar way, doesn't he? His definition of love is different than mine. But I felt love from him. I felt a respect from him. So, write down these things. If you've got something that's creating stress in your life, or you've got a person, let's just say there's a person, because probably the most difficult things in our lives can be relationships, because they go deeply, deeply emotional. Why? Because we really do care. We really do. Everybody in this room loves. Everybody in this room is love. And so emotional things, relationship things, can feel much more dramatic, right? So write it down, this thought you're having. Is it absolutely true? Do I know it's absolutely true? And here's the next one that will really, really help you. This really helped me. What do I feel like when I have these thoughts? What do I feel like? Is it fun? Huh? Is it fun? Ask yourself, am I having fun? Am I experiencing joy? Am I experiencing peace? Or in this case, with my brother, I had the conditions, you know, well, we're past 70 times 7 now. I don't have to forgive him anymore. Huh? That's sort of how I felt, because it was like, did he really do this? The world out there, everybody, is suffering from a confused mind. Everyone, yeah. Huh?
Absolutely.
Everybody out there is suffering from a confused mind. They don't know their love. They don't know their life. This is how you're going to know, by investigating. You're going to come into the reality of understanding you are life. And you don't need your brother to agree with you. You don't need your brother to do everything the right way for you to be life. That's my problem, see, because I'm hanging on to this thought. That was it. That's it. No more. Right? See, that was the last straw. I didn't even know I had a last straw. I figured the last straw was 10 years ago, to be honest with you. Really. Because he and I are really, personality-wise, we're quite a bit alike. We're pretty dynamic and A personalities, and, you know, we just always fought. But what was crazy about it is when we got together, we had the best of times. When things were going well, we had some of the most amazing times of anybody I ever was with. So it was either... it was either way, way off the hand bad, or it was really good. There was never anything in the middle for us, you know? So we'd get together for a year or two sometimes, and we'd have this big blow off, and he'd take off mad and go home. Wouldn't talk to me for 2 years, you know? I'd try to call him up. I'd say, you know, I love you, and rah, 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 you'd be other end, rah, rah, yeah, no, you don't, and, you know, and it just went on back and forth over the years, you know? He's 55 years old now. How does it make me feel when I believe this thought about my brother, who didn't even know that I was upset at him? He didn't even know. I'm here torturing myself, and I want him to pay, apparently. Dan, the final question is, how would I be without that thought in my life? What would I be? At peace? I'd be joyful. I'd be happy. I'd be loving. All the things I already am. And so what happens? The only way you can wander beyond reality, the only way you can escape life is for you to wander away in your mind. That's the only way it can ever happen. That's why this is so important. That what you really are, this pure, perfect, self-contained entity that needs nothing, right? That needs nothing, can only be lost by you wandering away in your mind. Write it down. It's a promise. I've proven by experience over, I'm 61 years old. Some of you got me by 1 or 2 years, I know. That's about it. I know it. There's no reason for us to go out this weekend and ever suffer again. Absolutely no reason.
Amen.
And this is simple. It's very simple. And if you learn to sit down and write out what it is that's troubling you, when you've got a relationship with somebody that's awry, write out the worst things you can write about it. Don't hold anything back because you're thinking them anyway. Write it out on paper. And then go back and investigate it with these three questions I gave you. And find out if it's really true. And you're going to find out that if there's any stress with it or any suffering with it, that it's not true. And it's going to disappear. And you don't have to suffer ever. You can enjoy this life of peace and joy. Jesus talked about this stuff all the time. We just didn't get all the details, that's all. But it's all over. When he said, take no thought, he then said about what you need to put on, or about life, or about anything. Well, what we're doing is, when we're talking about taking no thought, we're talking about possessing it, and owning it, and thinking it's real. And we haven't understood that this left brain is, we don't want to admit that there's something in us that's our enemy. Because we think it's us. We take it personal. And so we've been protecting it. And that's why last night I said I was so sad when I was with this friend and I was trying to help this person see this. And they just got so defensive and offended. It felt like they were being attacked. But I could see that they were suffering. I could tell they were hurting. I knew it. And it's been pretty severe. I said, oh, guess what? This is what's going on. So when we're in a setting like this, it's a lot easier to take because we're not like bringing someone up one at a time and putting them on the witness stand, you know, raise your right hand, repeat after me, you know. Is this true? You know. Right? We're not doing that. So, if you want fear and terror on purpose, get a future. Okay? Guys, we've got to mature and realize there's no future. There's no such thing as a future. There's nothing to plan for. Whatever it is that's going to happen between now and whenever is already going to happen. You have no control over it. So quit trying to control life. You can't control life, okay? Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Rest, take a break, have a drink, smoke a cigar. If you like cigars, let me know, okay? I'll smoke one with you. Really, have a beer. Let out a bunch of gas. Whatever it is that's bound up inside you, you know, that's hurting, let it out. It's that simple. There you go. Thank you, Ron. Ron just let out some gas in the back. I could see it.
Thanks, Ron.
Thank you, Ron. Hopefully it was just air. Here's a gal that was talking about something she went through that was really traumatic. She was going in, her mom was really sick, and they called in hospice. And this gal lives in what I'm telling you about. And she said, we went in. And my picture of my mother my whole life was that she was a monster. And I got the call. And I went out to sit with my mother as hospice was called in. And I came to know that the mother that I loved was an angel.
Was it what?
Angel. The mother I loved was an angel. And when I was there, I never, ever saw death. That was her testimony. Death never showed up. Ever. So I want to talk about the fear of death, because it talks about in Scripture that the fear of death is the last enemy. But I want to tell you that that's not true. I was dealing with a friend of mine, because I do counsel a lot of people. It's not too much, you know, it's just about right, you know, but I get people that write me because I tell them to. Because when we have these meetings, if people have some questions or they're struggling with these things, just like Gary's sister wrote in there and said, I really love what you've written, Mike, and I think it's beautiful and I don't disagree with any of it, help. You know, just help, you know, put the flag up, right? The white flag. I said, sure, you know, let me know. So I had this conversation with this friend about death. And they went through about a week where it was just terribly debilitating and just brought so much fear and everything that just come over them, you know. And the Spirit just all of a sudden said, if you've got stress about dying, it's clear it's not your time to go. Because when it's time for us to leave this realm, there'll be peace when it's time. And that's what she experienced with her mother. That's why she said she never saw death. It was a beautiful, peaceful experience the whole time. And she learned to connect before her mom left with this woman that she'd loved, and it became the most beautiful experience she'd ever had with her mother. And instead of finding death, she found love. Isn't that beautiful? Mm. So if you're afraid of dying, don't worry. It's not your time yet. Okay?
So,
huh?
You're not afraid.
Can I get the one? Can we just go back to those three questions? The first one is it true?
He's quiet.
The second one is, how does it make you feel? And the other?
Is what I believe true beyond any reasonable doubt?
That's the third question.
That's the first question.
Oh, first question, okay.
And with that is, can I absolutely know it's true? Then the second question is, how does it make me feel when I believe this thought? And the third one is, what would I be like without this thought in my life? Now, we remember the story about the guy in the cave I talked about last night.
Yeah.
Remember? Tormenting himself over what? All of his thoughts coming from the serpent. The serpent always has been the mind of man. Throughout Scripture, it's always been the mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's the serpent. Well, I, bless God, I got a serpent in me. I need to need him cast out tonight. Come up, put your hands on me. Huh? Sorry, I'm not trying to mock it. I'm just saying we sort of know that. It's okay to be honest. Your only enemy is your own thoughts. Your only problem in your life is your own thoughts. It can't come from anywhere else. Now just write it down. It doesn't matter what anyone says about you. It's your reaction to what's said about you that's the problem. Just like with my brother. What he did wasn't the problem. It was my thoughts about what he did was the problem. It's the same with death. It's the same with anything else that comes up in our life. If we'll just learn to investigate. And Zen teaches it. The Diamond Sutra teaches it. Nisargadatta Mahara teaches it. Ramana teaches it. All of it. It's just a transition phase to bring us in to this kingdom of life that we are. Doesn't mean there's anything wrong with us. It's just the entrance. It's the opening to the kingdom. Yeah. Is to the last death in our life is for us to be free from the serpent. To be free from the mind that torments us. You're going to really live in this life. You can really do it. We don't have to wait. We don't need to wait. Why wait? Huh? Let's just start today by understanding. I've never, you know, the stuff I've been dwelling on and reading, you know, and all of this amazing truth that can't be comprehended by the mind. You know, and I said, it's all great, but it's just sort of been wearing me out. I'm just to be honest with you. Just sort of been wearing me out a little bit. Just getting up here and talking about all these lofty truths that are so far out. And just to bring something a little more practical this time that can help those that I'm speaking to. Because I read people's Facebook walls. I read people's, what they're preaching about. When we've been together for years, and I'm saying, geez, what's going on? These people are tormented and they don't even know it. So, the compassionate alarm clock. Instead of trying to get rid of depression and pain and fear, we recognize them now as gifts. Mm-hmm. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
They're gifts. They're little packages that are all wrapped up. And they've come to us to say, you're living in a story that isn't true. You're living in a story that isn't reality. You're living in a story that isn't life. Just question what it is you're believing. What is it you're thinking? So I'm grateful that I've been going through this the last couple months. And I don't want to sit here and say, I shouldn't need it, because that's what happened. Yes. I'm not beyond this stuff. I know I was telling Dana, I might sound like I'm backtracking a little bit, you know, but it's been wonderful to see something so simple, because all this time we've been talking about all these lofty truths, you know, that are beyond understanding, and I'm going, you know, it's got to be simpler than that. I kept coming back to that, you know, the last few months. I said, you know, it seems like this is all getting too complicated, you know, so it's got to be more simple than this. And what we've been sharing this afternoon, we could go into a prison and teach people.
Yep.
And love them. You could go, you could take this anywhere and teach somebody, anyone, what I've just shared with you.
Yep.
And help anyone. Well, don't we all want to do that? Isn't there a love within us that wants to help people? There is with me. There is in my heart, or I wouldn't be even up here doing any of this. I could just be traveling around the world now with my wife, you know, chasing Buster Snoops. I don't even know why I do this, to be honest with you. I don't know how I got hooked up with this character, and he don't know how he got hooked up with me, but here we are. Right?
Yeah.
Yes, life is all there is, and there's no me, but we're still here. So let's talk at this level and help each other so we can understand what it means to live in this life that's beyond understanding. And that means just that there's no stress and that there's joy and peace all the time. Not some of the time. All the time. Okay? Yeah, so let's have a nice afternoon. I'm going to release you. And we'll meet tomorrow morning again at 10 with Dana, the beautiful Dana Cosenza. And then I'll follow her and we'll see what happens, okay? So thank you, everybody. All right. Yep.
So just a few housekeeping things.